Hello and welcome to episode 523 of Fergo on the Freak. I'm the bloke from Rugby League Project, Andrew Ferguson. You can find me on Twitter at AndrewRLP. Join me as always is the glorious League Freak. You can also find on Twitter at League Freak. How are you going there, mate?
I'm going very well, Andrew. How are you?
I'm producing an immense volume of snot at the moment, so I'm going great.
Excellent.
I'm really, really productive at this stage.
That's very good.
Yeah.
You been up much?
Oh, look, we did a quick trip up to Sydney last weekend.
Really?
Yeah. Bit of a whirlwind tour.
So you must have had time to meet anyone, though, hey?
Wow. I met Sean from Rugby League Project. Yeah. Yeah, all the important people that I know in Sydney.
You know, makes me wonder why I've been face fucking this cardboard cutout of you for the last 3.5 years, honestly.
Well, at least now you can do it, and you can do it with rage.
What? Is there any other client?
Well, I mean, more rage.
Man, you come up for the worst weekend weather wise.
Yeah, as I was saying in the 37 seconds before we press record, that it's the first time I've made a trip from Melbourne to Sydney and actually left Sydney weather to go to Melbourne weather.
Yeah, it's raining now still.
Yeah, so look, Sydney, get your shit together. Of all the things that you should have over Melbourne, it's weather. That, and you are
weather.
You are literally shitting the bed on this one.
We have weather, right, and the lack of communism.
Yeah, well, that and you're not constantly wanking over coffee.
That's true. We wank into it.
That's, well, you know, that's where that extra flavour comes from.
Flat white.
Yeah. Your landmarks aren't a fucking train station. Oh, my God. True.
Or three fucking pillars.
Bridges.
You know, shit off the coast.
All they've got down here to gloat about is fucking public transport shit. Yeah, let's not go down that. We'll be stuck on shitting on Melbourne for quite a while if we keep going down that path.
That'll be the next 2.5 hours.
Yeah. It was a very quick tour.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was would have liked to have stayed a bit longer, but yeah, shit happens.
It's just the way life goes sometimes. So we're still waiting for David Fifita to make his decision. I believe he has to make it before Thursday's finished, hey?
He's waiting.
I know.
He's pushing the deadline.
Taking it to the last minute, which is interesting. But it looks like it's between basically staying at the Gold Coast for a player option that he has for over $1 million, mm-hmm. moving to Penrith, where it's like a 3-year deal, I believe, for about $850,000 a year, or a 4-year deal at the Roosters, which I haven't seen a salary disclosed for that.
Oh, that'll be about, for over the 4 years, that'll be about $25.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah. They might give him a slab of beer as well each
true,
year.
True. But it's probably about the same as what Penrith is offering. And then there was reports that if Fifita goes to the Roosters, that the Panthers might look at getting Angus Crichton. And I dare say that for $850,000, if they got Crichton, it'd be hard for Crichton to turn that down unless he goes to rugby union and they pay him $1 million to try and get headlines because they're desperate. But it's just a really interesting decision that Fifita's got, because the money's there at the Gold Coast, but you know, we've talked about the Gold Coast and how they've always been run. You go to Penrith and, like, you got a chance to just walk into an historic team. Or you go to the Roosters and just, you know, it's the, you know, the typical Bondi Roosters bullshit where they say that you're a wonderful part of the club until they push you out. So he's got an interesting decision to make.
Do you, as a Panthers fan, think that Fifita and or Crichton are Panthers players? Like, do you think that they'll come into that side and be earning the type of money that they'll be getting? Because for me, I don't think either of them would.
Here's the way that I look at it, right? We talked about, I think, the player market on our last episode, how it's very, very soft. And there's not too many players that they're really going to be able to target with the money that they've got. And they've got well over $1 million to spend, the Panthers. So they're going to have to spend that money on someone. You can upgrade your own players. But at the end of the day, like, you kind of want to bring somebody in to fill the holes that have been, you know, just cut out of the club by everyone else. So I think that Crichton, the thing about Crichton is Crichton has played he's played four really, really good games in the last year and a half, which is a concern, right? He'd probably be more of a player that is a conventional player that could go into the Panthers forward pack. Fifita is more of an attacking weapon. And I sort of think of Fifita as like a budget version of Kikau to a certain extent. He's very good at close attack and to the line. There's no doubt about that. But his defense is lazy. I guess when it comes down to it, the thing that I fall back on and I've talked about a little bit before is that Penrith are really, really careful with their personnel decisions. And they tend to make really good ones the entire time. So if they've been to this point where they've thought, let's get David Fifita, they must have a plan for him, and they must feel as though he can be folded into the team. So you kind of have to put your faith in them because they've been right the whole way through. But I think that considering you've got all this money available, Fifita's there. You know, put him in the Panthers team and take out Luai and Fisher Harris, which is basically all they're losing from their real key players. Like, that's a pretty horrifying sort of addition if you're the rest of the league. So I'm not too down on it, but I do understand what you're saying in that he's not a conventional sort of player that you would expect Penrith to go after.
No, see, I think the absolutely perfect player for the Panthers right now in every aspect is Britton Okora.
Really?
He's just a very impressive line runner. Can run that angled line. Not too different to Yeo, but does it on the edge. Does have a good offload on him. Very good defensively. Better disciplined. And he's a Kiwi, which means that he doesn't get picked for Origin. He's still going to be there, and you're still going to have a good forward pack during that period. And he's still young. He seems like the more suitable player for the Penrith style than anything else. Crichton has been, you know, when he's at his peak, he's, you know, clearly one of the best back rows in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's not at his peak, he's not playing first grade.
Yeah,
there's too much of a gap between his best and his worst. Mm-hmm. And I think Penrith really needs those much more consistent players who have that much more narrow gap between a bad game and a good game. Because you can still work around a bloke who's had a reasonable game if that's his bad one, so to speak.
Yeah,
but a guy who has an absolute shocker, especially in the forwards. Look at the impact John Bateman has on the West Tigers on the edge there when he's not playing well, which is every week.
Mm-hmm.
Teams just run through him.
Yeah.
And so that's the problem that Penrith can't have. And I think it's too much of a risk with Crichton or Fifita is there's too much of a variance between their performances, between a good and a bad one.
Yeah, and I totally get that. I agree completely.
Furthermore, you're probably going to need to get yourselves a decent 5'8 because you've just lost arguably the best one in the game at the moment for next year.
Yeah.
You can't just be relying constantly on depth all the time to cover those gaps because eventually that's just going to wear out. And you're going to be bringing in inexperienced people into key positions.
Yeah. Well, they've got Cole, who's playing again this week off the bench, and they seem to be giving him a lot of runs, and hopefully he does take that 5'8 role. I agree completely, but I guess the alternative is that you look at sort of fringe first graders or just solid first graders, and you're still like, you're not going to spend, they've got like 1.4 million bucks to spend or something crazy like that. So they're going to have to spend the money, because you actually have to spend a minimum salary cap amount. So they're going to have to spend the money, and like, it's just not a good player market for them to go in and buy somebody that's really at the level that they probably want. I wouldn't be shocked if they get Fifita. It'll be really, really interesting to see how they use him. But if they miss out on him, I wouldn't be shocked if they bought three or four players that are just so-so players, and, you know, they do the job for Penrith, because Penrith has been really good at getting those players. So, yeah. Like, you look at Garner, you know, somebody like a Lind, it's like they're all them sort of same sort of players, Garner and Lindsay Smith. They're like those back rowers, can play centre if you need them to, good mobility, good motor on them. Like, that's where really Penrith have targeted those sorts of players. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think that's why everyone's so keyed in on what Fifita is going to do, because whatever happens, it's going to be really interesting to see what the outcome is.
I'm also surprised that Penrith offered him so much.
I don't know. I think 850 is, it's not bad considering how much they've got to, they have to spend, right?
Yeah.
They're reportedly giving him a 3-year deal. So you would think that by the end of it, the salary cap's probably going to have either gone up or is going to go up after that. The key players are already signed up. Like, you know, all of them are just on long-term deals. So, I there's not too many alternatives I have. That's the thing.
See, this is the thing, though, is that Penrith have this key thing, which you touched on before, and that is they're successful at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So they should be saying to Fifita, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you a base salary of 650 grand a year.
Mm-hmm.
And if you meet certain KPIs for us, it could boost your salary up to 900,000, right? They'll be juicy, juicy bonuses,
mm-hmm.
right? You can work a way for this to go into the salary cap. Basically, just have space in your cap to cover it if you pay him extra so you don't go over.
I get that, right? But keep in mind, he just has to go to the Titans in the next, it's like the next 24 hours and less by the time people are listening to this, and say, I will sign on for next year as my player option, and he gets a million plus, right? Yes. So Penrith offering him like even $350,000 less, he just cannot do that.
But what does he do when his player option runs out at the end of next year?
There will be somebody.
Yes, there will be somebody, but they're not going to give him what the Titans are giving him. And the Titans won't even give him that anymore. He hasn't delivered on it. So
that's true.
At what stage does this go, you know what, I've got to stop chasing cash to start putting in the fucking yards? Because it's not his priority at the moment. That's clear enough. We've seen enough of that already.
That's why I think that it's interesting that he's even looking at other teams. Because
that doesn't surprise me at all, because it is showing that he's clear to try and find some cash. That's his motivation.
I don't know that it is, because if it was me, I would sign that player option for $1 million, and know that next year there'll be teams that will pay me a whack of money anyway. Even if it's the Dragons, like he's had the Raiders like on the hook for nearly a year now. The Dragons are going to get to a point where they'll just throw money at somebody, you know. The Dolphins are probably going to still be on the lookout for players. The Roosters are always on the lookout for players. Like, I've got no doubt that, like, if he signed that $1 million contract, or $1 million extension with the Titans, that the following year he would still get a decent bit of coin. So that's why I think it's interesting that he is willing to take less immediately. So I just think the whole thing's really interesting. Like, I think if it was happening to other clubs, it would be interesting, but just happens to be Penrith, which, you know.
What's worth noting, he's surprised,
but they were the ones that really went after him. It does surprise me.
Well, I think for me, the thing that's telling is the fact that the only two teams that are apparently in talks with him are the ones with over $1 million to spend.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how much the Roosters are offering him. I haven't looked that up, but I wonder if it's more than the Panthers are offering or less.
Tell you what, though, he does come across to me as a like a picture-perfect Shane Flanagan signing.
What does that mean?
He's exactly the sort of player that Shane Flanagan would sign.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Dragons go hard after him.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I mean...
Not because he'll be of any benefit to him, but he...
The Dragons said they would like to talk to him, and he was like, no, thank you.
Mm. Which is I wouldn't be surprised if they put an offer to him.
Well, who else are they going to spend their money on? That's the thing.
It's a Flanagan club, man. He pours all his money into forwards. That's just what he does. Look at those Sharks teams when he was coach there, and more often than not, they had a very decent forward pack, but their backs and their halves were just dire.
Yeah, good club doctor too.
Well, yeah. But yeah, that's what he'll do. He'll sign some overpriced forward.
That's what he does. I think that's why it's so interesting. It's so interesting because Penrith they decided to make an offer. That's what gets me.
I've no doubt Penrith could make him better, but I just don't think that he would suit the way Penrith play and the way they go about their structures and their styles.
Like, my guess is that they would, because their training is obviously outrageously good. Like, I remember one year where they played, and it was before they were good, but they played the Newcastle Knights in round one, and they were not as fit as the Newcastle Knights. And all I could think of was, like, what are we doing over the off-season that we get into round one and we're not as fit as the Newcastle Knights, you know? It's the complete opposite now. Now everyone rates their fitness against the Panthers. So him going to the Panthers, like, they're going to bust his ass in training. Which it'd be interesting to see what that did to him as a player. Like, could he afford to drop weight, or could he work more on his endurance and still have the impact he has physically? I wonder if they're looking at him as a kick-out style of player, and look, like kick-out's a better player than Fifita, without question. But I wonder if they've looked at him as like, maybe a kick-out sort of replacement, that they kind of need that wrinkle in their attack going forward. We'll find out. By the time people listen to this podcast, they'll probably know what he chose. So,
I'm saying he's going Roosters then.
You reckon?
Yep.
I just think that the Roosters, like, Penrith have options because they've got juniors. The Roosters don't. Like, if the Roosters don't offer him more, or it gets to the line and his manager says, look, he's going to take the Panthers money, even though you're offering $100,000 more, make it $150,000 or $200,000 more and he's yours, the Roosters kind of have to do it.
And they've got more money to throw around too.
Yeah, they do.
I think they'll do it.
Yeah.
And I don't think it'll be a bad news thing for Penrith. I think if they miss out on him, I think they'll have dodged a bullet.
Yeah, look, if they don't get them, I wouldn't be like super upset about it or anything. I'd just be like, okay, who are we getting then? And because it's a really nice thing to offer a player at almost $1 million a year and walk into this team that's just won 3 premierships. Like, it's kind of a once in a lifetime opportunity for whoever takes it up. So yeah. I'm not too worried about it. Hey, like, even if we got no one, if you just said that money's going to be dead cap space, Penrith's going to be pretty damn good next year anyway. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So I'm not hanging on.
They could get John Bateman for half the money.
See, there is that. They could do something terrible like that. But what type of club would do something like that?
Dragons. He's Imagine another Flanagan signing.
If they signed him, hey.
Oh, I'd be so happy. I tell you what, if the Dragons signed John Bateman, I'll buy a Dragons membership. That would be phenomenal. That would be so fun. Oh, man.
Are you talking about the Dargons?
The Dargons, yes.
Yeah, the Dargons, yeah.
Great work there. they don't even know their own team name. Fantastic. I don't know what's going to happen there. I'd be surprised if Penrith go with him.
I think we're going to find something out about David Fifita in the next 24 hours, what his goals are and what he wants to do with his career going forward. And that, to me, is very, very, very interesting because his talent is unquestionable. Like, in terms of raw talent, that dude is like, pretty high up there. But what he has given so far in his career is not up to the level of talent he has.
Yeah, Dave Taylor.
He's like a rich man's Dave Taylor, basically.
That's all he is. And given that he's off contract on fielding offers, you'd think he would have been putting in some massive fucking performances this year. And I haven't even known he was playing.
Yeah, the only time you really notice it, like, he's very, very good within 10 metres of the opposition line, like, extremely good.
Yeah.
But yeah, the rest of the game, like, nothing.
He's out in the Ellis Corridor too often.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And I wonder how Penrith would deal with that. Like, would they have him playing, you know, close to the middle of the field, or would they still keep him as a wide running back role? Because, there's even been games where he's played at centre, like as a legit centre. I think he might have done that against for Penrith and he got just torn apart.
Yeah, he did for 3 or 4 games in a row because Titans had no depth in the centres and lost both of them to injury or something. But his lateral movement is absolutely atrocious in defence.
Mm.
I don't think the way the Penrith attack functions, it would allow him to run that wide because their centres push up pretty quick in attack and defence.
Mm-hmm.
So they would naturally just force him to play in a very tight corridor on the edge of the ruck, which wouldn't be a bad thing for him.
No.
But he really does need to work on his defence a lot, his lateral movement a lot. And his consistency. There are three massive things in a forwards game, and he's struggling on all of them.
And look, we've talked in recent weeks about what I really value, and consistency is number one. Consistency, reliability, it's priceless, absolutely priceless. And you're talking defensively, like you can say with the Panthers' defense, like when Snyder was in the team, he was not working with the defense the way he should have been. He was hesitating and things like that. And it ruins your defense out wide. We'll be letting in tries out wide because Snyder was not moving up in defense properly. So, and Fifita, like you just can't have a lazy back rower out there. So I wonder if they've said to him, like, we'll pay you a lot of money, but you're going to be a prop for us, basically. And we're going to see what he wants out of his career. So I can't wait to find out what he wants. But at the same time, if he goes to the Roosters, I will be like, that makes sense. If he stays at the Titan, I'll be like, that makes sense. If he goes to Penrith, I'll be like, wow, that's surprising.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what goes on there. So the other big news that came out that I noticed today was it looks like Australia is poised to win the hosting of the next World Cup in 2026.
Yeah, that was a huge shock.
Yeah.
Honestly, it all should have been in New Zealand, hey?
Exactly.
Like,
exactly. No, not even in doubt. It should. They've got to stop playing these things in England and Australia. There's just no need for it there.
You and me are giant international rugby league fans, like to the point where there's maybe like 100 of us on planet Earth that are at a level that's either what we like or above, okay? Are you like super excited by this announcement?
God, no.
No, neither am I.
No. They've changed the World Cup structure. So just to let people know, the last World Cup in England had 16 teams in the Men's World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be cut down to 10 in 2026. Mm-hmm. The teams that qualify will be the eight teams who made the quarterfinals in the last World Cup, which is England, New Zealand, Australia, Fiji, Tonga, Samoa, Lebanon, and Papua New Guinea, which means there's only two spots up for grabs.
Mm.
Now, the International Rugby League has created a World Series event next year, which will include the Cook Islands, Jamaica, South Africa, and the last spot will be made up via a European qualifying tournament, and the winner of that will go into that group. And the European qualifying tournament will include France, Serbia, Ukraine, and Wales. And that's in autumn this year. Oh my God.
I mean, France should walk that in. Yeah. Look, do you have any faith that anything is going to happen in Europe? Like, they were supposed to have a European Championship. That didn't happen. They were supposed to have, like, a World Cup. That didn't happen. So I've got zero faith that any of that's going to happen. I wouldn't be shocked if they handed it to France.
It's just nuts.
Mm.
I mean, this whole process is just stupid. It really is.
Yeah. They had to cut down the number of teams without question.
Oh, yeah, that bit makes sense.
Yeah.
Ten teams doesn't make sense. If you're going to have a knockout competition, you need to have it, you know, the number of teams has to be divisible by four.
Mm-hmm.
Just simple. The other way you can do groups, three groups of four, or four groups of three, whatever you've got to do. And then you have a knockout stage from there, and everything just whittles down to two. But if you've got 10 teams, one group stage has to have a weird number of teams.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have two groups of five. And it just gets messy from there. Because if you have two groups of five and the top two of each one goes through, is that fair for the teams that might have done better that finished third in both groups?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? It's too much of a messy situation. But 12 would have been fine, or 8 would have been fine, but 10's just stupid.
I think 14 would have been way too many. I think 12 would have been too many. I think we could have a really kick-ass 8-team World Cup. I think 10 is probably a little bit too many, but I'm willing to compromise on that regard.
I'd say for this one,
mm-hmm.
the goal should have been, let's have 12 teams, all right? We've cut it back from 16 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next World Cup after this will be 8 teams. Mm-hmm. And we'll change the qualifying structure completely so that only the finalists are the ones that automatically qualify. Everyone else has to play to get in.
Yeah.
Right? That way you've got all these other teams who probably would have gone close to being in the final playing more international football in order to qualify for the World Cup, which makes international football a little bit more interesting to watch. If you've got to watch New Zealand play against Papua New Guinea or England play Samoa or Tonga in order to try and prove that they deserve to be in the World Cup, that's more enticing than having to sit through Ukraine versus Wales.
Mm-hmm.
No disrespect to either of those sides, but you need to have... Oh, sorry, but you know, you need to have some more of these elite teams being involved in that qualifying process. They mm-hmm. do it in soccer.
Yeah, the International Rugby League is just an absolute joke. It's an absolute joke. And I bet you money that they do the same thing they did at the last World Cup in Australia, where they put the games on all corners of the Australian map because it looks good, and that, you know, it'll be done by somebody that's never actually been to Australia, so they don't realise that it costs, $1,000 to fly between these places. And yeah, I mean, you're not super excited for it. I'm not super excited for it. Imagine what it would have done for New Zealand Rugby League. It would have been gigantic. But no, the International Rugby League won't do that. And guess where the World Cup after this one's going to be? Oh, it's going to be somewhere exotic like fucking Lancashire.
Oh, it'll be Yorkshire again.
Well, they can maybe do a joint bid.
A joint bid?
Yeah.
Geez, that's getting excessive now.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine having to play games in both Wigan and Hull.
Ugh.
Oh, hang on, they did that in the last one, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. So you reckon just play all of them in Wigan?
why not at this point? You can't play him in St. Helens because nothing, nobody turns up for a game in St. Helens unless Wigan are playing. Like, they don't turn up for internationals, they don't turn up for St. Helens, but when Wigan play, they sell that bitch out.
All right, how's about we drop England from the World Cup and replace them with Wigan?
I'd be happy with that. Why not?
I think that'd work.
Yeah.
I mean, we've already fixed this thing. The other thing that's coming up is England, well, they believe that Samoa is going to be touring their country at the end of the year to play a three-test series. And Samoa has said that they don't really want to because they want to play in the Pacific Championships instead.
Yeah, I completely see where Samoa's coming from. Like,
you'd think England would have sorted that shit out before they started saying, oh, we really hope that they come over, and they're already basically saying that we'll get them over here.
Yeah, and I mean, I would guess that Samoa could make more money here. They're going to get a better competition here. Their fans are going to go off about being able to see their team play. I just don't see why you'd go over to England to have one of their referees just crush you in every game.
I was going to say, if it's officiated the same way as that Tonga series was, it's not going to happen.
I mean, that was such a disgrace.
Yeah. You finally get yourself a different, unique team to tour your country. And you treat them like that, and you go, well, what do you expect to happen? Everyone's going to say no now.
Yeah, and like there was, like, the from the usual suspects who nobody cares about doing all the chest beating of like, oh, well, we just beat Tonga. No one talks about that series. Like, it's May. No one cares. No one's talking about it. No one thinks that it changed anything. It sucks where International Rugby League is right now. It really sucks.
It does. Speaking of officiating, been a bit of drama in the NRL with the officiating of late. Casey Badger had a pretty ordinary game on this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the fucking comments, man. Some unhinged shit being spoken out there.
Honestly, I don't know what I've done to my timeline, but I saw none of it on my timeline. So I watched that game, and it was one of those games where both teams were frustrated, right? And I think fans across the league are frustrated with the refereeing because we're all seeing that you get within the 10-meter mark, you get 24 free tackles. No one's liking that. And so fans across the league are frustrated, but in this game, it was a frustrating game to watch. You know, the Tigers and the Bulldogs felt like they could have won the game, and they felt like at certain times in the game, things were really going against them. So there was that. And there was some incidents in the game that Casey had to deal with, but I didn't see any of the sexist shit on Twitter or anything like that. I just saw the media's reaction saying, oh, this is obviously about sexism. And my reaction was like, well, is it really about sexism, or is it just about people being frustrated at the referees, which in turn I just thought was, because I think the referees have been given a directive to give more six agains within the 20-meter line, right? So I thought it was just a result of the NRL doing something like that. But you said, so you've seen like sexist comments and stuff, have you?
Yeah, like some of them. Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of them, but I've seen enough to make me realize that it's too many. And look, let's be honest. I mean, I'm not going to fuck around here. One of them is too many. But hadn't really seen that many about her in the past. But after this game, and I mean, it's always going to be hard to officiate a game between two teams who have been at the wrong end of the ladder for the best part of the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Can't expect them to turn out an absolute bloody blinder. So that was challenging enough. But, yeah, some of the comments are just ridiculous. And I'm not going to go through them because it's just stupid. But, look, referees are like every single one of us. They're humans, and they will have a bad game every now and then.
Mm.
But we've said this so many times in the past. The media started this, you know, anti-referees agenda many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they bash it to death every fucking week because, as we've said all the time, they don't watch the game. have never officiated the game. So they just sit there and abuse the referees because it's an easy out, because the referees can't defend themselves. They don't come out and say anything in return. They're not given any chance in the media to say anything. And the only person who does get an opportunity to defend them is Graham Annesley, and he takes every opportunity to throw them under the bus to make him look good.
Mm-hmm.
So they're on a fucking hiding to nothing. And as I said before, look, if you're not willing to, you know, have the same sort of anger and vitriol towards your own players when they have a complete fuck up that a referee does, then you're not being fair and balanced. You're just being an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, it's, there were so many opportunities for both of those sides to do something right and take the game away from the opposition. And they failed it for reasons that they are to blame for. Yet all everyone's talking about is what the referee did. And that's a common theme. And the media pushed that to start with. It got indoctrinated in people's heads, and now they do it all the time. Now they don't have to worry about doing it anymore. Everyone just does it. And they just report on the fact that everyone's rigid about the referees.
Exactly. And that was the galling thing about it. Like, I saw a lot of people in the corporate media over the last few days saying, it's disgraceful the way that people address the referees, and it's disgraceful the way fans treat them. And I've heard these same fucking people nonstop going on and on about the refereeing in games, and to the, like, in many cases, them not knowing the rules, or literally, like, there was one radio person whose name I don't even like saying, right? And there was an evening I was driving in my car listening to the game, and they were commentating it, and there was a rule that come up in the game, and they literally said, I don't know the rule, I'm not willing to look into it, but that just seems wrong. And that person this week has gone on a tirade about the way that fans talk about referees, and I thought, fuck you, mate.
Yeah.
Like, you can be upset at a decision that goes against your team, right? If you get flogged, and I said this a couple of weeks ago when the Panthers got flogged by the Seagulls, if you let another team score 30 points on you, shut the fuck up. You don't have to give a fuck about the ref.
You're not in the game to start with.
No, no. Like, even if it's 30 to 32, you let another team score 32 points on you, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. It's stupid. I've never been big on just abusing referees for the hell of it. I mean, criticism, I've got no issue with, and I'll criticise referees if they've made a bad decision somewhere.
Yeah.
Criticism is fine, but just calling them names or being abusive to them just because you don't like a decision they made, that's just boneheaded stupidity. I've got no time for that crap.
I don't get the people that, like, they really focus on the referees, and, like, when the referees are named during the week, I pay zero attention to that. And I could tell you the names of some referees, but if you gave me their faces and said, who's this, I'd be like, I don't fucking know, because I don't care. Like, I really don't care. The referees all perform about as good as each other. Sometimes that one of them will have a bad game. You know, you got to deal with it. Both teams have to deal with it for the most part. Like, it's very rare in the NRL you watch a game and you think, wow, that team, it was really, really hard done by, and it cost them the game.
That's right. It's very rare that ever happens. I saw James Graham had an idea.
Yeah, what was it?
Well, he thought the best idea was to have a committee in the bunker of three independent officials who don't communicate one another, and they all do give their verdicts of what they think should be the decision.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever their verdict is, they chat about that verdict together and get a consensus, and then they deliver that verdict.
My idea is better. I would have seven of them.
Seven?
Yeah. Do you have a better idea?
Well, maybe we should have two bunkers.
Okay.
A left bunker and a right bunker.
How many in each bunker?
I'm fine with seven. I think seven's good.
So it's a 14.
Yeah, seven in each bunker.
Okay.
Because you've got to have an odd number so one has the casting vote.
Okay. I would I would approve of that, but then I would also have an extra official in case there's a deadlock, right?
Yeah, you're right. You do need that.
Yeah.
Would that be a third bunker?
Yeah, why not? What about a super bunker?
That's what we need. A super bunker with one major person who gets to have the final say to thing. Kind of like a dictator.
And that super bunker could be at the game, right? So you've got the super bunker at the game, right? But then you've got the bunker in Redfern and then have another bunker up in like Brisbane just to make it fair, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so you've got like, what do we say, 15 officials all up?
Yep.
But then the super bunker at the actual game gets the final say.
The problem we've got, though,
mm-hmm.
is we've got one referee on the field. So with their decision as well, we're back to an even number.
That's a good point.
So maybe we need to have two refs on the field. Or have four referees on the field.
What if we had five of them?
No, it's got to be an even number in order for the number of referees to be an odd number all up.
No, you're right.
So six, maybe six.
You are so good with stats, hey?
That's what I do. That's what I do. You have six, three on each side.
Mm-hmm. I like this.
I mean, that'd work.
You know what? I think that with all of those officials, because what are we up to now, 19?
6, 7, 22.
22?
Yeah.
No, see, we're still...
Sorry, no, 14, 21.
Okay, 21.
So we had 14 in the bunkers, on the field, and the super bunker. So that's 21.
Okay, we got 21 officials. To me, as a rugby league expert, if you've got 21 officials looking out for any infringement in the game, I think that'll help the game flow.
Yeah. What time would we have to move kickoffs to in order to accommodate the very slight increase in time that the bunker system would need to deliberate on decisions?
Last week.
Yeah. Like, in fact, we probably need to kick off in January.
Yeah, yeah.
And go through till December.
It'd be good. I think that's what people want.
It's basically more footy, but actually less.
Yeah, yeah. Anytime they can, like, what I would like is for them to constantly be reviewing things. So, like, if it's, say, 38th minute of the first half, the fifth official on the field, like, blows the whistle, it says, we've got a review from the 13th minute of the game. It's back down the other end of the field. There was a knock on. So we're going to go back there, reset the game clock. It'd be
You know what I'd like to see is that when they've got to come together for a deliberation over a decision,
mm-hmm.
that two more officials run onto the field with a table and chairs,
mm-hmm.
and they all sit down around the table and chairs and have their discussion there.
That'd be nice.
I think that'd be lovely.
That would be. That'd be quite lovely, in fact.
I mean, I think you can put advertising on the table and the chairs.
Yeah, brought to you by fucking Hungry Jack's.
Yeah. You know, it's Bunnings, you could be on the chairs.
Yep.
It'd be sweet.
The 17th official is on the field, brought to you by Blue Chew.
Yeah.
Chew, because you're not already hard enough waiting for these referees to make a fucking decision.
Because you've got enough time to go and get one away before they come to a decision.
Oh, so we're putting a 30-second shot clock on it, are we?
Well, just on each referee's decision.
Nice.
And then there's 21 of them, so they've all got to make a decision, and they'd have a concurrent 30 seconds each. So that would be – I've stopped doing maths now, but it'd take some time.
Basically what we're saying is James Graham didn't go far enough. An amazing idea for a front rower.
Yeah.
But he didn't go far enough.
If we're going to be completely honest, the mm-hmm. best solution is you have just two officials in the bunker and they are the same two for every fucking game every week. So if you want consistency, then you have to stop changing things around. And the easiest way to do that is to have the same thing constantly in the same place.
That was the original idea.
Yes. And there's no reason why it can't happen because there are no two games on at the same time. So that solves that problem. And you know what? Crazy idea. Two refs on the field again.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of the set restart. That's just stupid. Let's get back to playing game the way it was before and not this stupid horseshit they've got now. It's just nuts. It really is. And I see over in England, they're now talking about having the refs challenge over there for next year. Yeah. Just don't.
The problem with the game at the moment is that, and it's a problem that you get in sports from time to time, where you start to have to play the game to avoid being penalised rather than just having a natural flow of the sport. And that's where we're at right now in the NRL, is that you're having to play the game to avoid being penalised. So, and it's just not good. And no one likes it. No one.
But because people have been conditioned to believing what the media told them about how two refs was a bad idea and the bunker's a joke and stuff, that's the agenda that the most of the fans go with.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the case. Do you know back in 1987, this is actual fact, back in 1987, they used to have the Rugby League Week player polls. Remember those?
Yeah.
And in that year, they asked the players, what's the biggest issue in the game today? And the players said, majority of them said, refereeing.
Mm-hmm.
Refereeing standards were not good enough. And when they were asked what the solutions was, they all said, basically, well, nearly all of them said, the majority of them said, why don't we have two referees on the field? They knew about it in 1987.
Yeah, yeah.
30 fucking years ago. They knew what the problem was and how to solve it then. And we finally fucking solved it. And we've gone, nah, take it away again. But it was working.
I go back to last year's grand final, right, where everyone praised it because they said the teams were allowed to just play. It wasn't over-officiated. Just play, right? And so we've gone from that to, you know, what, 8 months later or something like that, where the game is over-officiated terribly. Like, I'm seeing teams on their own goal line busting their ass in defense, and it's six again. It's crazy.
Yeah, and that's not on the referees. That's how the game has been. That's what the game has evolved to now.
Yeah, and like the referees don't want it. None of the referees want to be like refereeing a game where they're six against. Like, they want to just see a good, clean, flowing game of football, but they get directives from the NRL. And they've got to abide by it. That's their employer.
Yeah, and that's nuts.
Yep.
I don't see the NRL changing that shit anytime soon, because Flanders is absolutely loving the fact that he gets involved in the circle jerk with the media, and they like helping him with that. They like giving him a hand.
Yeah, they do. They really do. How about if the bunker all weekend was just done by Graham Annesley, seen as he is fucking the perfect official, according to
him. That'd be great. And he'll never do it because he doesn't have the balls.
No, he won't.
Because if there's a wrong decision, he can't blame anyone.
I bet he'd find someone. Speaking of people getting angry at individuals, I named my New South Wales team for game one. Have you seen it yet?
No.
Excellent. Okay. So are you ready for my New South Wales team?
Hit me with it.
Okay. Fullback, Dylan Edwards.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
The wingers, Brian To'o and Josh Adokar.
Yeah.
Yeah, happy with that?
Yep.
The centres, Stephen Crichton and Isaac Tungall.
Hang on, you're picking actual centres in the centres.
I'm weird like that, hey?
That's fucking nuts.
Crazy.
I mean, we need more fullbacks in this side.
That's what many people have said to me, hey?
I'm already at a loss. I don't know what to do now. No, that's fine.
Harbs, 5'8". Matthew Burton, halfback, Nathan Cleary, obviously.
Yep.
My front row, one prop is Payne Haas. The hooker is Appy Korosau. At the other prop position, Jake Trbojevic.
Ooh, Jake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, that's all right. That's all right. We'll keep going.
Only because I don't think his performance has got any better over the last few years. Not that he's bad, but I think I'd probably, if I was to put him in the side, I'd probably put him on the bench.
I considered that.
Yeah.
But I wasn't happy with our front row options for the state, and I didn't want any losers in the team, right?
Well, I mean, you've got Aaron Woods there.
I don't have Aaron Woods there.
No, but I mean, no, is he available? Put him in there.
I hope not.
David Clemmer's available?
Yeah, he's available. my back row, Olakau'atu, yep. Martin, and Yeo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't argue with that.
My bench, Jerome Luai, Uto Ikemanu. By the way, that kicks in an option for him. He could go to Penrith. Just saying.
The agenda begins.
Yep. Number 17, Lindsay Smith. And my 18th man, Wade Egan.
Wade Egan.
Do you notice anything about that side?
There's a lot of former Panthers and current Panthers players in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have this really strange idea, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
That we should pick players in their preferred position, especially if they're in form, and we should go with players that have proven themselves to be winners on the bigger stage.
That seems fair. I used to have this theory too, that the team should be made up almost predominantly of players playing in teams in the top eight.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
They're in the top eight for a reason. I don't mind the idea of Uto Ikemanu, but I don't think he'll get picked. I'd be surprised if he'll be considered, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think he's done a huge amount so far this year. But in saying that, not a huge amount of options available for New South Wales in the front row.
Yeah.
That's actually in decent form at the moment.
Yeah, that's another problem. Like, there's players we've gone to in the past who have, some of them have been okay at origin level, but those players are just not in any good form at all. And I wanted players that were showing some form. The reason I picked Ikemanu is because it's more of an attacking option off the bench, and he's a big dude. I wanted a big dude coming off the bench because a lot of the play... Oh, I forgot to mention Angus Crichton, didn't I? Yeah, I forgot to mention Angus Crichton in the
start. Oh, he was on the bench as well, was he?
Yeah, he was in the bench.
Okay.
But I like to have a mix of workers and then bigger players and then players that can, if they had to, play front row. So that's what I'm thinking with there. Jerome Luai off the bench is my utility. I think you'd probably think that's a great idea, to be honest, because, you know, he'd be able to spell Appy Korosau as a hooker, right? But then you can move him into the halves, and then you can move Burton into centre if you need to. Just give you options.
See, I'd be more inclined to put Burton at centre.
Mm-hmm.
And Luai at halfback. Oh, sorry, Luai at 5'8".
But then who would you get rid of out of Tungo and Crichton in the centres?
Probably Tungo.
Really?
Only for experience and nothing else. But I'm not going to say that we should be bringing in, you know, another fucking fullback or anything like that. That's nuts.
No.
But I probably have... a utility who can play fullback or in the halves on the bench, who is also a decent, slightly decent enough defender. So I'm not suggesting Nico Hines. I don't think Nico Hines would do a bad job in Origin. He has not been used properly at all in the time he's had there. But if you're going to put Nico Hines in the Origin side, he has to be starting in halfback. That's the only option. You can't have him on the bench.
No.
Because the chances of you having to replace a fullback or a halfback in an Origin game is pretty slim.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you need them so they, if they are able to, they can cover that. But if they're a good defender as well, then they can fill in at hooker if need be. I don't really know who you go with in that role. But maybe... No, I... It's a tricky one. I'm probably more inclined to put a hooker on the bench, someone like a Blake Brayley or a Reid Mahoney.
Reid Mahoney's a Queenslander, though.
Is he?
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
I agree. Blake Brayley then. Brayley's defense has improved markedly in the last 18 months, so I wouldn't be disappointed if he got picked. He's a decent attacker, lively in the middle. So he could help cover Coruscant. Coruscant can play in the halves, we know that, if need be. And you've got Burton who can play in the halves if need be, but he's at centre. I think that would probably add a little bit more versatility if you had someone like that on the bench.
See, the way I look at it, though, is like that's a lot of moves and a lot of if this player can move to here and this player can move to, like, my feeling is sometimes if a player gets injured, you're screwed anyway. Like, you just got to tread water for the most part, you know?
Well, yeah.
Best. Like, there's no situation where you've got everything covered.
That's right, but... I think nowadays, though, a lot of teams, even in the NRL, are playing with two hookers. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's what the NRL, that's what the New South Wales side does. They'll probably do it with the Queensland side as well.
Yeah, that's what I've always liked to do with my New South Wales team is have two hookers. I just think you have to at rep level. It's just you have to. There's no other option. Yeah. But I think that Luai would be great coming off the bench as a hooker.
Just rather see him have that space at 5'8 that he's used to in his natural role, because I think that's where it'd be better value.
Yeah, I understand that. I get that.
Yeah.
So some of the things people were critical about, I had a bunch of Panthers in. They were like, why would you have Panthers in? It's like, you know, I couldn't believe I had to even explain it. Edwards in for... Tedesco, I didn't even think was I just thought it was obvious. I had some people saying, you can't drop the captain. I don't give a shit who the captain of this side is. Hey, I really don't give a fuck.
You can drop the captain.
Yeah, 100%. Like, your name team.
Wally Lewis got dropped.
Yes. Like, you pick your team and then you name your captain. You don't name your captain and then you pick your team.
That's right. It's nuts. You can always have another captain. Coruscant can captain.
Well, Isaiah Yeo is a great captain. You know,
there's two of them.
Crichton's the current captain of the Bulldogs. Nathan Cleary's co-captain at Penrith. Like, we're cool with captains. We don't need to worry about captains.
No.
Leaving out Tom Trbojevic and what's his name? Latrell Mitchell. Like, people were upset that I didn't name him in the centres.
Oh, come on. Latrell hasn't even done enough to earn selection for South at this stage. He's been that poor and been injured.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Latrell fan, but, man, he is so far from where he should be. He's rapidly going into the David Fifita territory.
Yeah, he needs to.
Dave Taylor of fullbacks if he keeps this up.
The Dave Taylor of fullbacks.
Man, I really thought this year he would say, you know what, I realise I've got to start pulling my finger out and put in a bit more. And, I mean, I thought that last year as well, adding down to win the Dally M last year. Didn't even get close. Mm. He really does need to pull his finger out and do something, though, because he's not getting any younger.
Yeah, at some point he's just going to look up and he'll be 30. And
he should be performing a hell of a lot better than he is at the moment.
Yeah, 100%. So anyway, that was my team. Tom Trbojevic, like, playing pretty well for Manly. Not in his best form, but playing pretty well. Like, I'm not going to bag him for it. Not as well as Dylan Edwards. Much more injury-prone than Dylan Edwards. We've seen too many games where he's limped off the field for New South Wales and they've been left down a man. I just don't need that.
No, that's right. He's and look, Dylan Edwards has proved that he's I think his form in the last 2 years especially has improved immensely, which is crazy considering that it hasn't been that poor to start with.
I had people saying to me, but Dylan Edwards has never proven he can play well in a big game.
He's only won 3 premierships. I saw someone saying that if we pick Dylan Edwards, what are we going to do to help our attack? And I basically just went to NRL.com, mm-hmm. checked out their player stats on there, looked up the try assists.
Mm-hmm.
And so far this year, James Tedesco's had 5 try assists.
Mm-hmm.
Guess how many Dylan Edwards has had?
How many?
5.
There you go. At this point, you'd be stupid to pick Tedesco ahead of Edwards. He's in incredible form. He's leading the Dally M count. His form is just outrageous. You've got to pick him.
Exactly. I think people are seeing, they think that it's a slur on Tedesco. It's not. No one's saying anything bad about Tedesco. It's just the fact that Edwards is now playing better than him.
Yeah.
It happens to every single player when they get into their 30s. Eventually, you stop being the top player in the competition because someone younger than you takes over that mantle. It's been happening since 1908 or 1895 even.
Happened to Clive Churchill. Right. I had one Roosters fan say, look, Tedesco's been really good the last few weeks. You have to pick Edwards. You just have to. He's playing too well. So it was cool to see that. That's a long time follower of mine. But yeah, I remember when we've had Queensland teams and there've been a lot of Broncos players in the side, and we went on and on about, wow, isn't that fantastic? They've got all this cohesion. And then it turned into the Storm players, and it's like, wow, they've got all this cohesion. And now we've got this team that's based in New South Wales with New South Wales born and bred players, and they've either been at the club or they're still at the same club, and they've won 3 premierships in a row, and people are going, nah, I don't understand it.
I think it's because so many people in Sydney want players from their club into the Origin side, whereas people in Queensland just go, we just want to win this thing.
Yeah.
And that's the difference in the mindset between the two fan bases.
Mm-hmm.
Queensland plays to win.
I was saying to a Bulldogs fan, because a Bulldogs fan contacted me and said, I would do the exact same thing you've done. I'd just pick as many Panthers as you could. And I said, look, if it was the Bulldogs that had won 3 straight premierships, I'd be saying, pick all the Bulldogs players. Because they're winners. I don't care about where they're from. I just want dudes that have proven themselves when it matters. It just get them out there. I just want to win Origin. I don't care where the players are from. I don't care who the captain is. I just want to win the Origin series.
That's why we play games, is it not?
Exactly.
Oh, that makes sense. That's why it won't work.
Do you know what? When I was putting my team together, I had a look at last year's team. And if you go on Wikipedia, they've got this really cool thing where it shows you last year's series and it shows you the changes between the teams, between the games in one like sort of graph. And when you look at the teams that Brad Fittler selected, it's worse than you remember. Like, I know you remember it as being poor, but when you see it laid out the way it is on Wikipedia, it's ridiculous.
Oh yeah, it's not great.
Mm.
And a lot of it was just like team favorites that they picked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fans of the bloody or players that Fittler was fans of.
Yeah.
The only thing that's going to impact, I guess, the selections by, you know, compared to what you've picked.
Yeah.
Is Michael Maguire is coach.
Yes.
And there's a very he has a very specific style of play.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's as a versatile gameplay man as some other coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a bad way, because he's proven at his time at South And he had shown glimpses of it at the West Tigers with a very, very atrocious squad.
Mm-hmm.
That his method will prove successful eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see who he goes with. I reckon he will have a few bolters from Cronulla, purely because they're on top of the ladder. So I wouldn't be surprised if one of the...
Are they the best team in the league, though?
No, but I can't... I don't think you can say that they're not one of the best four at the moment.
I can't. I would. I would say they're not top four.
No, because I think what we're seeing at the moment is that the top sides are the ones that will constantly put away the teams that they should be beating. And the Sharks have been pretty damn consistent the whole year. Their one blip was round two against the Tigers. And they've been fine ever since. Sure, a lot of it's been against poorer sides, but you've got to put them away. You know, the Storm struggled against a woeful Titan side. You know, it's just, it's little things like that. And so I don't rate them that lowly. I'm not going to say they're the best team in the comp because I just don't believe they are. But I don't think they're that bad either. I'd put them in the top four.
They remind me a lot of the Canberra Raiders, a little bit more consistent. I said that same thing last year. Like, I just don't rate them, hey?
Yeah, I know that.
I bring it up from time to time. I just don't think that we should look at selecting players based on their bleed rate during games, hey?
Yeah. I've seen people commenting that Cameron McInnes should get picked. I'm like, that's a no.
It's crazy.
Can we not? If you take away the fact that he makes 80 fucking tackles every second week, what else does he give you?
Mm-hmm. 80 tackles that bruise no one.
Yeah. Just constantly hitting people in the guts.
I heard somebody in the media, and I can't remember who it was. I wish I could remember. They said he should be the starting hooker.
No.
Crazy.
No, not even close. He's not even, no, I can't entertain that.
No.
How can you? That's nuts.
It's insane. I wish I could remember who it was that said that. Damn it.
No, I heard there was a reference the other day that said Jesse Ramien is being considered.
I saw that.
I'll say this. No. He is playing a lot more consistent this year, but still no, because the problem with Jesse Ramien is his discipline can at times be fucking dog shit.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't have that sort of loose cannon horse shit going on. So that's a definite no.
I would take Trbojevic and Mitchell ahead of Ramien without question. Not even a...
Oh, yeah. Ramien shouldn't be in conversation. He's no. He's that name that gets thrown up every now and then that you have every year when someone just random is having a pretty good start of the year.
Mm.
And so the classic example of this, I think, was around 2011, 2012, and Blake Ashford was being put forward as a contender for an Origin jumper. And at that time, he was playing well, there's no doubt about it. But yeah. he wasn't one of the best centres in New South Wales.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have got, bad memories of what Ashford was like under his time at the Sharks and the Warriors. And then a lot of that was because the defenders on his inside were fucking dog shit.
Mm-hmm.
So he was constantly being isolated in defence. So no one's going to look good doing that. But laterally, he wasn't that great. Ball skills were not that great. Fucking brilliant ball runner. No doubt about that. But yeah, he was a run-of-the-mill NRL quality centre. That's all he was.
Yeah.
So should never be put in those conversations. They did a similar thing with Talakai a couple of years back.
Yeah.
Had a stunning start to the season, so they put him in there, just going, why are you picking him at centre? Like, this bloke is a second rower. He's filling in at centre. You're picking at centre. It's not going to work. And sure enough, it just didn't. And the only way you can make Talakai work, even in Origin, is he's got to be on the bench as part of the forward rotation, not in the back line. Because Queensland's halves are way too good at being able to isolate someone whose lateral movement is not as good as it needs to be. And they isolate them every fucking time.
And that's the thing. Like, when I was thinking about the State of Origin team we should be aiming for New South Wales, it's like, well, and the first thing you think of with every single State of Origin side is, okay, defence. Because you've got to defend against best players in the world. So you've got to all be good defenders. Well, like, we've just been the best defensive team we've seen fucking in our lifetimes, right? And then what else do you want? Well, you want some cohesion there. You want some winning experience in there. That's a good thing. You want some versatility. And like, that's why I named the team I did. If there were other dudes that were out there, like, and I think most of the players I named are the form players. Like, no one's in better form than To'o. No one's in better form than Dylan Edwards. Hang on, let me bring the side up. No one's in better form than Crichton as a centre. Josh Adokar, he's one player that I was like, you pick him in rep for Australia, for New South Wales, you get a top performer. You just do. Like, that's why I picked him. Burton's in one of the better 5'8s in the game. Like, there's not too many guys that you'd pick ahead of Burton as a 5'8. Haas, we know about Haas. Coruscant's been ridiculously good. Jake Trbojevic, his form hasn't been as good as it should be. But as once again, who's name a prop that's in real good form for New South Wales? Like, it's difficult, man. Liam Martin, great player. Isaiah Yeo is maybe the best player in the game at the moment. He's been ridiculous this year. So I went down the list. I was like, I wanted form players, and that's why I picked that team. And I understand people got upset about it, but I didn't care.
No, I mean, look, at the end of the day, I mean, I'm only deliberating over, what, two or three of them?
Yeah.
And one's a positional change more than anything else.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's hard to argue with picking a team that's known how to win.
Yeah.
And most of them have got a win percentage in the NRL of, you know, at least 75%. Kind of helps.
That's what I thought.
It kind of helps. You've triggered the online community.
Yeah.
By being reasonable.
That's the thing, huh?
You arsehole.
I need to stop being reasonable.
Yeah, go back to being a prick.
I mean, go back to being a prick. How dare you? I was pretty good at being a prick, though, wasn't I?
The best.
I think that Maguire is going to look for, and it's he's going to look for defence. He's going to look for mobile back rowers. I wouldn't be shocked if he did a little bit of, remember when Bellamy was the New South Wales coach and it was basically all back rowers? Like, if he did something like that, I wouldn't be super shocked. But you got to have Haas in the side. Like, Haas is a must. So,
oh, yeah. There's some people that just automatically pick themselves.
Yeah. Cleary is definitely going to be there. Like, he has to be there. Coruscant, yeah. Another one, has to be there. If he's fit, if he's healthy, he's got to be in the side. His form has been outrageously good for the West Tigers. So there are some dudes that pick themselves.
Absolutely. Can't argue with it. So it's, no, I'm not too opposed to it. Watch the media, though, absolutely chastise whatever gets picked. The only bit of advice I've got for Michael Maguire is whenever you hear someone whose surname is Johns tell you should pick, walk away. Just walk away. When they stop talking, go back, shake the hand and say, thank you for your input. That's been noted. And then walk away again. Mm-hmm. Forget that conversation ever took place and go about your business. That's all you got to do. Yeah. Be polite. But completely ignore every fucking idea they have because they're all bad.
Yes. Otherwise, you'll end up with a side that has two Saifidis in it and a Bradman Best.
And you won't be coaching next year either.
Exactly.
It's funny, they like getting coaches sacked and replaced all the time to get their mates in there.
Mm.
And then when their mates get in there, they go, shit.
Yeah, it's funny. They don't take the
fall with them. They stay there while their mates get the ass. Oh boy,
it's so depressing. Maybe it's a New South Wales fan, isn't it?
It really is. It's got a lot better West Tigers fan.
Yeah,
from the last three seasons.
Look, my best case scenario is we pick 85% of the Panthers side and a few other players. Like, that's my best idea. It's not a good one.
I'm going with it. Speaking of the Tigers, and this will be brief because it's good news.
Okay.
Lee Hatstein's decided to have a hissy fit. He sent a very angry letter to the West Tigers, basically saying that they're all poo-poo heads, and I'm not going to be the sponsor of your club anymore. And to which I'd say, if I was West Tigers, I'd just say, fuck off.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
I'm sure that the deal that he worked out for his company wasn't probably super lucrative for the club, because he would have negotiated very hard on behalf of his own company.
That's right.
He's a very smart man. But my guess is the West Tigers will be able to find another major sponsor very quickly and without much fuss.
If he pulls the plug this year,
mm-hmm.
Harry Triggerboff will just pick up the deal for this year. He'll just go, yeah, put Meriton on there again for another 6 months.
Poor bugger has to do that a lot, hey?
I know, but that's the beautiful situation the West Tigers are in, is that they know they've got a ready-made sponsor willing to tip in a few bob here and there.
Yeah,
but they shouldn't be leaning on him anymore. But if they need someone straight away, they know they've got that there. And that's a good position to be in. But yeah, the bloke who's led a team to their only wooden spoons and constant misery, woeful retention and recruitment, is trying to call Shane Richardson, of all people, a poor manager or something to that effect.
Yeah.
Because Lee would know what good management looks like. How many premierships has he won?
Yeah.
Yeah. How many has Shane Richardson been involved in? More than zero.
Well, the thing is, plus, too, like the management that replaced the terrible management hasn't been there for long enough that you can definitively say whether they're really good or really bad. The most you can say is, like, the signs tend to look pretty good from what you're hearing. But, the only thing they've really been able to do is sign Luai and Taruva, and that's it, really. And they're really good signings for the club.
Yeah. But also they've been able to get big crowds at Campbelltown despite not winning games leading into them.
Yep.
Which we haven't had the West Tigers do since probably 2006.
Yeah.
Which is nuts. So, you know, there's a lot of positivity going on. The Tigers are no longer being flogged every week. You know, they might be losing nearly every game, but they're in every game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's enough to give people hope that things are going in the right direction, because they are, clearly. So, you know, it's not atrocious where they're going at the moment, and we never had things getting better under Chairman Lee and the potato. All it got was just every year worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
So, Lee, you don't know shit about running football teams. Next time you feel like writing a letter, take your pencil, shove it up your ass, and take the piece of paper you're writing it on, and shove that down your throat. So we don't have to hear your shit anymore. We don't have to read your shit anymore. Because I'm fucking sick of this bloke still trying to get some sort of fucking notoriety in the media. Or the media is still giving him a platform because they're not getting anything out of the club anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So they're relying on him for stories. And that's what he's doing. He's just going to try and burn the world down at the West Tigers headquarters because he likes being famous in his mind.
Mm.
I'm fucking done with that bloke. Sooner he can fuck off, the better.
If it was about the club at some point, there would have been a decision that was in the best interests of the club. And to me, when I saw that fucking letter, ridiculous, it was a positive sign for the club for me, in that, like, this is basically the full stop on that bullshit. Like, there's nothing for him to – what's he going to do now? Like, you know, leave a post-it note?
Just look. Yeah, maybe he can send an angry fax next time. Then he can send a telegram.
Yeah, telegram would be good. And then it turned, the next step down is like a Gorilla Gram. And then after that, what's left, you send an angry text. And then the next thing is like an angry, like, WhatsApp or a DM on Instagram.
That might be it.
Yeah.
Which will just get ignored.
Yeah.
No, you'll then stop trying to talk to the club. You'll then just go straight to the media because I'll keep giving him a platform.
Yeah.
That's all I do.
I wonder if, because I'm pretty sure he's the major sponsor of the New South Wales team.
No, it's Westpac now.
Oh, is it? Oh, well, there you go. My theory's gone. It's all right.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I wonder if you see him become very profile-y about the New South Wales Blues, but yeah, it doesn't matter now.
No, I don't think he's involved in rugby league now that he's severed ties with the West Tigers as a sponsor.
Well, rugby league had a good run.
Yeah, yeah. It's only going to get better now. The more atrocious administrators we get out of the game, the better it's going to get.
And I was talking about it because I was on the Kennel podcast earlier tonight, had a fun time on that. And I was talking about how, like, we've had some teams that have been so poorly run that it's been really pretty devastating to the whole league because, you know, you've got to really mark the strength of your competition by your worst club because it sets the bar for how much you can charge for sponsorship deals and things like that. And we've had some, like, you think about the Newcastle Knights bottomed out, West Tigers completely bottomed out, Bulldogs completely bottomed out. We're seeing the Dragons completely bottoming out. It's terrible. It's terrible that clubs get to that point. They shouldn't be getting to that point.
Yeah, a lot of it comes down to, almost always, it's atrocious management.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. They make one decision, which you just look at and go, that seems odd.
Yeah.
And then it goes downhill. Sometimes it could be a coach. Sometimes it could be dumping a heap of money into a player that doesn't fit their structure. Sometimes it's a new administration board that comes in and completely just fucks things up.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always something which is major. And you just look at it and go, yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
So it's always there. And it's funny how people who are just regular fans but know enough about the club can spot that stuff really quickly, but the club can't.
Yeah. But what you get is a situation where people start pointing things out and the administrators of the whatever struggling club it is, and it's not even like struggling. Like, I would say Parramatta at the moment is struggling, right? The Titans are struggling. Like, the Titans have a really good lineup. The Titans aren't bottoming out. They're just not good, right? These teams that are completely bottoming out and when the errors that they're making are pointed out, whether it be by fans or in the media, and then the club board or the CEO or something gets defensive, it's like, hang on a second, dude. Look at the results you're giving this club. You are not doing your job well enough. But they get super defensive. It's really weird when that happens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Like, if it was a thing in rugby league where, like, say, for instance, you win two wooden spoons in a row and your CEO just automatically resigns because it's like, I cannot honestly keep this job. Having two wooden spins in a row, it's not fair on the club. I can't be the one is responsible going forward. We need a change. That's how it should be, but it's not. They fucking bunker down.
Oh, yeah, because they think that they're somehow doing something good and deserve to stay there and go, are you delusional or can you not see what everyone else can see? And that is, you've made this place worse every year.
Mm.
And just when it got to the actual absolute bottom, you somehow continued to make it worse.
Mm.
And yet they still believe that they shouldn't have been losing their job over there and going, see what, after the amount of time that Lee and Justin were there and saw zero positive change there. And if we want to be really generous to them, we'll say, well, they built a high performance gym center thing. Didn't translate to results on the field. So, you know, whoopee. How's about trying to get some results on the field? That's where the money is. That's where the success is. But, no. That's just stupid. And they're trying to think that, you know, losing Brighton's as the sponsor is going to somehow hurt the club. It won't. You're a sook. You're an idiot. You're a shit rugby league administrator. I'm sick of hearing you. Just piss off.
I agree.
Here we go. What else is there? Who else is there to whinge about?
I think that's pretty much it. The only other thing I picked up on the last weekend, I mean, the games were terrible. They're not worth talking about. All of them were pretty much atrocious to watch. It was a kind of a weird round like that. But I did get the pleasure of watching, I think it was the Cronulla game, actually, on Channel 9. And, boy, their presentation is not good. Like, every time you watch it, it is kind of shocking. And the commentators, like, they seem bored or that they don't like the game. It's really strange when you watch it. Like, say what you like about the Fox Sports commentators, and there's a lot you could say, but they're very excited, right? Even if don't like what they're saying, they're extremely excited about what they're watching, and they sound like they really, really want to be there. They actually all sound like they wouldn't want to be anywhere else in the world.
They drag you in with that.
Hey?
They drag you in with their enthusiasm. It's great. That's what they should be doing.
Yeah. The Channel 9 ones, they just seem annoyed that they had to fucking call this game. They sound like
they're going to play golf today.
What's that?
It's like they were saying, oh, I was going to play golf today.
Yeah, it really does. And it's just really strange to listen to it. It's a very different experience.
And really noticeable too.
Yes, very.
I saw too, too, that they were saying that they're trying to coax Ray Warren out of retirement for just one more Origin match so he can say that he commentated on 100 Origins.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't think they need to do that.
They need to do something. Because can you imagine those dull mob trying to commentate Origin?
It's going to be really weird to listen to.
This is why the NRL needs to scrap the whole exclusive rights thing to Channel 9. They're not doing anything to help the game anymore.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the next TV rights deal, because Channel 10 is like, there's some questions about their future because their parent company, which is it
Paramount?
Paramount, yeah. Their parent company is currently in talks to be taken over, and one of the suitors for it is actually Sony. So Sony is looking at buying Paramount, and obviously they're not saying, hey, the other thing is we get Channel 10 in Australia. But that it's going to be part of the result of that. And so there's a lot of questions about the future of Channel 10 in Australia. And the TV deals that are starting to be talked about overseas with sports and the NBA in particular, the NBA looks like it might do a deal where a lot of their games are on Amazon, and they're looking at them. They're looking at Netflix streaming live games, and that's huge. Like all of a sudden you can have a thing where you've got a worldwide audience. It's very
– Yeah, thick. I mean, I did hear recently that the WWE signed a deal to have all of their programming on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah. So things are changing at that level. It's going to be very difficult for KO to be, which is Fox Sports, to be able to compete if Amazon decides they want to use, say, the NRL or the AFL, you know, to get into everyone's lounge room. And one of the things that they get out of that is a lot of data on people and how they – like what they're viewing, how long they're viewing for, what they're interested in. They can really focus their advertising, and they can fold it into Amazon, like the shop online. So there's a lot of added bonuses that Amazon would get out of something like that. Netflix is just this juggernaut that they nail a lot of their decisions. So they've got these two like global giant companies that are looking to get live sporting content, how that will fold into the next TV deal, and the possibility that we'll have one less free-to-air channel in Australia that will be bidding for the rights. And I think that now, like if when the last TV deal was signed, if somebody said all the games are now on Amazon, people would have been like, oh my God, that's ridiculous. What's going on? I think if in 3 years' time, or even now, like if I said to you, all the games are on Amazon Live, you'd be like, yeah, all right. And it wouldn't be too much of a deal.
No, that's right. I can't. This is the crazy thing. Channel 9 has Stan, right? Mm-hmm. Which is their streaming service. Mm-hmm. They don't put any rugby league content on there at all.
Really? Not at all.
There's none. They've got rugby union on there.
Yeah.
There's no rugby league content on there.
My guess is that's something to do with the streaming rights. It must just purely be KOs.
I don't know. It could be, but that's something that needs to be addressed, I think, in the future. I'm not sure if that's something that the NRL has to address or Channel 9, but that needs to change, especially if Channel 9 wants to make Stan something that they're going to be making plenty of money out of and getting people to subscribe to it. That's what they do. Stan? Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't have Stan.
I got out of some discount thing through work.
Okay.
I don't get the discount anymore, but it was during COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the reason why I got that. But it's not bad, but everyone in my house watches it. I don't.
Okay.
Because I'm too busy doing history stuff and angry tweeting.
Yeah.
And podcasting.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I sometimes see my family.
Between all they still, the porn you watch.
Jane, well, yeah. I mean, they still know who I am. So I figure I'm doing enough to keep up appearances there. So that's surely I'm ticking a box. But yeah, it's an interesting one. I dare say we've got the TV rights deal coming up again soon. So it will be interesting to see how that changes as well and whether it'll be a short term or long term contract. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a short term one.
You know what? The trend is for very long term contracts. There's talk True. That BA might sign a 10-year deal with one of these streaming services.
It's pretty nuts. The only reason why I say it is because the streaming services are only going to go from strength to strength.
Mm-hmm.
And if you sign a 10-year deal, how much money are you leaving on the table on that 8th, 9th, and 10th year?
Yeah. I mean, they'd have to index it some way. It's not going to be just through inflation. I wonder if they will tie into, I mean, geez, they could tie it into all sorts of things. I don't know. I mean,
this is the other thing too. Like, look, the TV rights deals in Australia is now about $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Is Netflix going to pay $1 billion for rugby league?
Netflix, I can't see Netflix doing it. Like, especially when you consider how many people already have Netflix. They don't need to get more people doing it. But if I'm Amazon, I can see where they can fold it into the rest of their business where, like, the NRL brought to you by Amazon. Amazon, Amazon, Amazon. Get everyone shopping on Amazon. So I can see Amazon doing it more than Netflix.
I'm curious to know, like, the one I'm thinking of is how much Amazon paid to get the Grand Tour, which is the guys who formerly did Top Gear, to come across, because that was their big signing.
That's a while ago.
It was. Probably not going to be able to find it easily. It costs roughly £4.5 million per episode.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't do that many episodes per year, so it probably doesn't work out as being $1 billion. And you go, if they paid that huge a price, what does this see? Estimated price over $160 million. So they're saying it's cost around about $250 million to get the Grand Tour on there. That was their grand marquee thing.
Yeah, that was their establishment. That's their, like, hey, we've got a streaming service, and this is our first big thing you can see on it now.
Yeah.
And, like, now, like, I've got Amazon streaming TV, like, what's it called, Amazon Prime. And yep. I watch The Boys on it. The Boys is fantastic. The Boys is my sort of show. Anybody that's watched The Boys on there, man, they know what a sick puppy I am that I enjoy that show so much. But they've also got, they've started to create a lot of their own content, and a lot of it's not too bad, actually. So they're pretty well established now, but yeah, they can fold it into a lot of other stuff, which is really good for them and their business. Like, can you imagine if you're watching an NRL game and there's a heritage jersey, that the West Tigers run out in their heritage jersey, and a thing comes up on the screen and it says, buy this jersey now for $120. And they already know your size because of what you've purchased in the past. Yeah. And that's where I think they're going to head towards.
No, I get all that. I think the point I'm trying to make is rugby league compared to the Grand Tour.
Yeah.
Appeals to a vastly smaller audience.
Yes.
So why would they pay four times more for the NRL?
Because they're not just paying for the NRL, they're paying for, so they're going to have metrics on this that they'll go back to. But so they say, we're paying for people to watch on average 6.5 hours of our streaming service, on which we will stream, you know, the ability to buy, just say even, and I'm going to go really small for this, we're going to stream for them to buy $500 worth of merchandise over the course of an 8-month season, right? It's not just going to be about the eyeballs. It's going to be about funneling people into buying stuff on Amazon. And that's how they'll be able to justify it, because whereas a normal TV broadcaster says, we've got these number of adverts on the screen, and that kind of ends there. They might have a halo effect for the rest of their shows, which is just, once again, advertising, and that's it, pure advertising. Amazon is actually a direct seller of things as well. So if you think about how much money comes out of groceries or merchandise, Mother's Day gifts, all that sort of stuff, they're also adding that to it. So that's how I think they'll be able to justify it.
I take it that was the text message you got from PVL about getting you to do that deal with Jeff Bezos.
Let me have a look. No, I just got paid some money through my website.
Salford?
Not that one. That one fucking cost me money.
Oh, if I start guessing, I'll be here for 2 hours.
I know, right? It's actually just legfreak.com. I wish any of the other ones paid one extra dollar. They do not. Leagfreak.com does all the heavy lifting.
Ah, there you go.
Do you know what it's like to be like, all my bills are paid, and then you get an email and it says, madquackers.com just cost you 40 Australian dollars for the next 12 months. It's not very fun.
Surely we've got to find some buyers for these amazing websites.
That'd be nice. I'll sell Salford their thing back. I've held on to it for security. I didn't want anyone else to get it. And I haven't done anything weird with it, but they can buy it off me for, I don't know, how much do you reckon? £1,000? £2,000? £5,000?
No,
£5,000 is pretty reasonable.
Yeah, 10.
£10,000.
How much does the current website cost?
Their one.
That's what you do. You find out how much their current website costs, you go, I'll charge £1 less.
Well, it's going to be really awkward when they say, what's the internet, though?
that is true. So that's where your seven fans get to find each other.
That's true.
Oh, we can't rip on South, but they're actually doing all right this year, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, they're going
well. It's hard to tell because there's like seven teams all tied for first, I think, at the moment.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
They've got Wigan, Warrington, St Helens, Hull KR, Catalans and Salford all on 14 points and Leeds are on 12.
It's going to make it really, really, really interesting at the end of the year when either Wigan or St Helens wins it.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be great. Probably against one another.
Yeah. That would be fantastic.
We're looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not much else going on.
No, it's been a very focused week of news. I think that's been good. There's been a lot of interesting stuff to talk about from that focused news. I just hope that this week's games are a little bit more fun to watch than last week's games. There was a lot of bludgers last week.
Yeah, there was. I mean, we've got first versus second this week.
Yeah, that's true. I think that that's going to be very telling. I think the Storm are going to walk through that Sharks team.
We will see. That's the important thing. We will see. I will say too, the Challenge Cup. It's got games coming up in 2 weeks. We're into the semi-finals already,
mm-hmm.
And St Helens bowed out in the last round in the quarters.
Yeah,
got beat by Warrington 31-8.
Well, it's Warrington's year.
So next week on Saturday, we've got Hull KR takes on Wigan,
mm-hmm.
and Huddersfield takes on Warrington on Sunday.
I tell you what, that Hull KR Wigan game is going to be good.
Oh, yeah. And will Warrington choke against Huddersfield or will they choke against Wigan?
They'll choke against Wigan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's the
text. I keep saying, like, oh, Sam Burgess, he should coach South. He'd be a great coach. I always find it interesting when people say he'd be a great coach because you'd never know. Like, based on what?
Yeah, he was involved in an altercation during the week where he dropped a shoulder into some other English former player.
Yeah, what's his name? He's got a brain.
Yes.
Coach's whole episode. He's one of those ones that, like, I'm not going to say anything.
No, it happened during, when I read about it, I was watching the Formula One, so I didn't know what was, I didn't really care, to be honest. Because yeah. Every time I tried to watch the footage, it was geo-blocked and I couldn't watch it. So I was like, well, who cares? It's just Sam Burgess being a dick. I've seen enough of that over the years.
Yeah, true. It sucks when you see, like, English fans will say, oh, look at this amazing try in Super League. This will bring worldwide attention. And it's like a video that's geo-blocked and it's like, oh, man, it just sucks.
Yeah, why can't Super League be showing that on their channel that isn't geo-blocked? So, you know, they get some global attention. That'd be an interesting idea.
Yeah, they don't need it. They've got plenty of attention in the little towns that they're happy with.
Yeah. That is true. That is
I
true.
I feel like I've been super cynical in this episode, and if that's the impression I'm given, I'm very sorry.
Yeah, it was entirely intentional.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Comes back to what you talked about before, mate. Consistency.
True. Let's go ahead for the upcoming round of games real quick.
We can do that. Where are they? Let's have a look.
Okay, so I've got them here. Ready?
Okay.
Dolphins versus Seagulls.
I'm going Manly.
I went Dolphins.
Okay. Manly's defense is a bit shit at the moment, but their attack is somehow getting them across the line. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just still not convinced on the Dolphins for whatever reason.
Here's why I picked them. I feel the exact same way about the Dolphins, and they keep winning games. So I'm just going to back them. I thought, asking questions, back them. They're pretty consistent. Okay.
So they'll lose then.
Well, you know,
we'll see. every time I think that way, and I back them, they fucking lose.
Let's see. Yeah. That sucks.
So that's where I'm going, Manly.
Panthers versus Bulldogs. I went Panthers. I think this is going to be a really interesting game to watch. I'm super excited for it. going to find out a lot about the Bulldogs. I think it's going to be a little more difficult for the Panthers than most people think, but I think that they'll still win.
Yeah, Penrith will win this, but not by much.
Mm-hmm. Bulldogs playing good footy.
They are.
Eels versus Broncos. Oh, boy.
Brisbane could turn this into an absolute mess.
Yes. And they don't have a half back, but they don't need one.
Well, even though, I mean, their filling halfback has been pretty fucking good this year.
Jock is Madden. Is Madden back this week?
I don't know.
Reynolds is there. Who's playing halfback from? Josh Rogers.
Reynolds is out for most of the season now, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he tore his bicep tendon, which is a horrible injury. Yeah. Like that's the season pretty much over for him. If Madden wasn't back this week, I think he's back in the next couple of weeks. He played very well for them when Reynolds was out initially, and to the point where I felt like the club kind of should have just thought about sticking with him, because Reynolds is going to get injured at some point, and unfortunately he did. So when Madden comes back, it's hopefully he can just stay on the field and because I think he's a pretty handy replacement. He's one of those dudes that it just seemed like it was his time in the right team when he was out there playing for them. So, but yeah, even though they haven't got either of those players, I'm like you. I think the Broncos could just wreck the Eels in this game.
Yeah. Parramatta's defense is very one-dimensional. Their attack is very one-dimensional without Moses there.
Mm-hmm.
And their defense has been poor.
Let me
put it this way. They've conceded 30 points more than the West Tigers this year.
Yeah, crazy. Absolutely crazy. It's shocking how much they lost it as soon as Moses went. Like, it really does. It makes me think Moses is a better player than I've been giving him credit for.
He is their Peter Sterling.
He is. He definitely is. It put him in the same room, shave his head. Wouldn't know him yet. Wouldn't be able to tell him apart. West Tigers versus Knights. I had to go with the Knights in this one, but it was not very confident.
It's hard to go past the Knights. The Tigers' attack is dire, to be honest. And the Knights are one of those teams, when they turn up defensively, they will win a game. If they don't turn up defensively, then the Tigers have the potential to get a win against them. But, yeah, the Newcastles, I think they've won their last two games as well, so they're not travelling too poorly. I don't hold out much hope for the Tigers in this one. I don't think it'll be a flogging either. It'll just be another one of those losses where the Tigers lose by like 22 to 14 or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be the greatest game to watch.
No, and look, I've talked before about how the magic number of points scored per game is 19.
Mm-hmm.
And the West Tigers have only gone past 19 once this year, and that was when they beat Cronulla.
Yeah, and that note, like, do you want to, because that to me, I think about that all the time, that number. Do you want to reiterate how that works?
So that was, the way I figured that out was, at what score that a team scores, from that score and every score after it, is the win percentage at 50% or higher. And 19 was that point, because the win percentage for a team scoring 18 points was less than 50%. But from 19 and 19 onwards, it's 50% at least for every single scoreline from that point on. So 19 I put down as being essentially the magic score. If you get to 19, you're more than a 50% chance of winning the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran that over the entire history of the NRL going back to 1908, and also ran it through the, in quotation marks, because you like this one, NRL era since 1998, and it worked out the same both times.
Oh, it's almost like there was no distinction between the NRL starting and there being any sort of era at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So Jay, that was it. Sorry, go on.
No, it was the same. That was basically it. So, yeah, it was very interesting stat to find out.
Yeah, yeah. I think about it all the time. I really do. Dragons versus Rabbitohs. This is going to be just a game for the ages.
This is going to be one of those games where you will probably stab your eyes out.
Yeah. I tipped the Rabbitohs because I hate myself on some level.
Jesus Christ. I want to tip South.
Yep.
They've done nothing to convince me that they're anywhere close to turning their shit form around.
I agree.
And St. George, they're just woeful to watch. It's, yeah, I don't know. These two sides are just atrocious to watch. I'm going to go with the Dragons purely because they have somehow found a way to win more games than South. Comfortably more games by you. So it's three wins more.
It's so funny to hear you think out exactly what I was thinking when I was tipping this game. The only difference was my conclusion was every time I put any faith in the Dragons actually doing something, they get flogged. Fuck them. I'm going with South.
Yeah, that's fair. I've always had that sort of run with South, to be honest. Well, I can never pick them.
They're getting Latrell Mitchell back, I believe, this week. So maybe, I don't know. I just hate the whole thing. Storm versus Sharks, I tipped the Storm, and I think they're going to wreck the Sharks.
I'll go the Storm, but I think this will be tight.
Really? Down there in Melbourne?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Roosters versus Warriors. I tipped the Roosters. The Warriors just, the wheels are falling off. It's been kind of shocking.
Defensively, they're both almost equal.
Mm-hmm.
The Warriors have conceded just 2 points more than the Roosters this year. But in attack, the Warriors have scored 82 points less.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whack.
Yeah.
The Warriors' attack just looks completely at sea. They should be able to win this game, but the Roosters are playing with a lot of confidence at the moment. I can't see them losing.
Yeah, I agree. I'd be super shocked if they lost that one. And then the last game of the round, they saved the best to last, Andrew. It's Titans versus Cowboys.
Oh, fuck me. The second worst offensive team versus the Titans. If the Cowboys can't put 60 on this hopeless Titans side, then they should just give up. Then look, they probably will, but it'll be like 60-54 or something stupid like that. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a high scoring game and the Cowboys come out with a win, but neither of these sides have impressed me at any stage so far this year. And the Titans are god awful to watch.
The only time I've been impressed by the Cowboys is when they played the Panthers. And the Panthers, the Panthers really should have won that game by a little bit more. The weird thing is these two teams remind me a lot of each other in that they could score 28 points and lose, you know, or they could go on, they could like get out to an 18 point lead and look unbeatable and then lose the game pretty badly. Like if I said to you, the Titans start this game 20-0 on fire, and then they lose 40-20. You wouldn't be shocked. So
look, the crazy thing is, if you go back 6 weeks,
mm-hmm.
the Cowboys are on top of the ladder.
Mm.
It's so easy to forget that, given how woeful they've performed since then. And the last time they met was in round 5, and the Titans won 35-22.
That's crazy. They're two of like inexperienced.
Sorry. The Titans won. The Titans lost that game 35-22. My point was is that it was a high scoring game that the Cowboys should have actually put away and won big time.
Yeah.
And instead they let the Titans put 20 on them. And from that point on, the Cowboys have lost 4 straight games and they've let in quite a lot of points.
Yeah, I tipped the Cowboys. Because I don't think I'll tip the Titans again this year, even against the West Tigers. I'm not going to tip them. They can get stuck.
What about if they're playing Souths?
Yeah, I'd tip Souths.
Dragons?
Yeah, I'd tip Dragons.
Well, you're a man of your word. You said you were done with the Titans. You meant it.
Yeah, I'm just completely out on them. Even David Fifita's out. They're like, you can stay here and earn $1 million next year. And David Fifita is like, no, thank you. Having said that, have we got anything on the David Fifita watch before we go? Let's have a look.
Let's have a quick look. NRL's not going to have it, are they?
They could. No, I saw some jerk earlier just tweeting out, David Fifita, it's happening.
Just all right.
People up over it. Hate people like that.
As you do.
Nothing.
With reports that David Fifita will sign with the Panthers and Dane Gagai set to extend with the Knights, it means the Roosters will have missed out on two big free agency targets. That's on Fox Sports website. Fox Sports.
Really?
Yeah.
I've got nothing on my timeline. Just going through, yeah, I'm not seeing anything.
Nathan Cleary said to be a big reason why David Fifita is set to link up with the Penrith Panthers from next season. After it was revealed, the star number 7 has expressed his desire to play alongside the Titan. Fifita has until Thursday, 8 p.m., to opt out of his deal with the Titans for 2025.
It's a really, really interesting situation. I'd be shocked if he went to the Panthers. If he goes to the Panthers, you got to give him credit because he's leaving a lot of money on the table. And he's going to the situation which, football-wise, is the best for him at the cost of money.
Yeah.
So, which I would never have thought that David Fifita would do.
Yeah, we'll see if he will make that decision. Yeah. I'd be surprised if he does go to Penrith.
Yeah. So.
Well, there we go. Anything else we need to go through?
Nah, that's it. Been good app.
All right. It has indeed. Once again, apologies to everyone for me giving you the flu because you probably have through listening to this. But you'll get over it. just a bit of bush attitude towards the illness and stuff. You'll be fine. That's how we deal with everything.
Yeah.
You get over it. Put some tape on it.
Except for saving, you bastards never get over that.
That's true. thanks for tuning in, everyone. Make sure you check us out on all the socials. Subscribe to us on YouTube and like all the videos there. That'd be absolutely awesome. And we'll catch us all next time.